In John chapter 6, in our study, remember, if you would, the people followed the Lord Jesus over to Bethsaida, and they in that area, and he fed the 5,000, etc. He then went and proceeded, the disciples took at night, they went back across over to Capernaum. But in the process, there was a big storm that the Lord had arranged. And in the process, the Lord went to the ship, out to the disciples. And in the process, the ship, Peter walked in the water and all that stuff. And in the process, the Lord was on the other side immediately, verse 21. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. So in a moment of time, it was right where it was supposed to be. Now, and then the people got up in the morning, and in the process to have another feeding from the Lord, but, as it were, the Lord was not there. And then they hunted around and scouted out and found that he wasn't there. And so they followed the disciples back over to Capernaum, the boats that had come in during the storm. They boarded them and took a trip over to Capernaum because where the disciples were, you should find our Lord. And therefore, they proceeded, and in the process, they came. And now, there's three questions. The first question we looked at last time, verse 21. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, or teacher, which camest thou hither? When camest thou hither? How did you get here? You didn't go with your disciples last night. You couldn't have walked, did you? How did you get here? How did you ever get over here? We were looking for you back there, and you're here. That's a question. Then the Lord never answered them. And verse 26, Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, a sign, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. In other words, you're looking for a governmental kind of situation that will take care of you and feed you, and you're looking for me to do that. That's why they wanted to make him king, which he would not allow. Now, you come to the statement in verse 27. Labor not for the meat, for the food, which is perishing. We shared that last time. Labor not for the meat, the food, which is perishing. Now, remember the word perish is to be destroyed, to be brought to ruin. And the word labor, the labor, present tense, that means they were laboring. Well, what is that? Any kind of work done by anyone, by any method, any way, work done, accomplished, labor, to bring something to pass, to produce it, to make something happen. Labor not, don't be making something happen for your stomach. You were looking for me to feed your stomach. Labor not for the meat, for the food which perisheth, because you're going to, and we shared all that last time, because if you keep eating, you're going to have to eat again tomorrow and the next day, and the time you stop eating long enough, you'll die. So, perishing. We're putting our emphasis on the earthly and the material to the neglect of the heavenly and the spiritual. Now, so labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat, the food, which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Now, we shared all that last time together. Now, keep in mind, if you would, the thought as you lead into the next question. In verse 27, they were caught up in laboring, exercising, hunting down the Lord, doing anything anywhere to get a meal, to get sustenance, to survive, to succeed. They were looking to do that in a material way. A. B, we're told in verse 27, that they should be looking for another kind of exercise activity that should bring forth eternal life. They should be looking for that, not that which is going to end up, you're going to end up dying anyway. So you need to end up having, you should have something that has life to it and has eternal life to it, and thus everlasting life. And thirdly, which the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to give you this life. Don't you do what you're doing. I got that. You need to do something. You need to do something to get life. And by the way, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. Hang on to that. That's the background. I'm going to give it. So we're all waiting. Now, and thus, we come to the second question, verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Now remember what I just said. They're laboring. Don't labor for that. You're putting your emphasis in the wrong place. You should be looking for eternal benefits. And I'm going to give it to you. So therefore, verse 28, the question, what shall we do? We'll stop with that one. What shall we do? What are we going to do? And thus present tense, what are we going to do to make, to produce, to bring about something, to make something happen? We need to do, question, we need to do what? How are we going to do in order that we may work? We aren't asking about work. We're asking about how to do something to have work. We're looking to what do we do to make something happen out here? That's what the question is. And thus, what shall we do? And that's the question. What are we to be doing? What are we doing? And not, again, not what are the works of God. You aren't asking what the works of God are. No, we aren't. But how are we going to do them? That's all. That's what we want to know. Hang on. So now, and verse 28, that's their question. They don't want to know the works. They want to know how to do. How do we do what you do? And I'm going to answer the question, why do we want to know that? And verse 28, what shall we do that we might work, and that's present tense, that we might be working, verb. We might be producing. What can we do that we might be producing the works of God? What can we do that we could produce the works of God? That's what we want to know. And then you come to the answer. Jesus answered verse 29 and said unto them, this is the work, remember, singular. Look at the end of verse 28. It's plural. What can we do? The works, plural, of God. So we stop there. But he doesn't say, they don't want to know, they want to know how to do them. They don't know what, they don't want to know what they are. Now, in verse 28, we want to work the works of God. And thus, the work, singular, verse 29, the Lord Jesus said, the work, singular, of God. The singular work of God. This is the singular work of God. In order that, with the goal, what's the objective of this work? This is the work, singular. You want to do all of these things. This is what you need to understand. This, and the little conjunction that, in order that, with the goal that, with a goal that what? What's the goal? The work is that you might believe, that you might be believing. You might believe. You need to be believing. You need to believe in order to be believing. Hang on to this. I'll just show you. You don't care about it, but the verb, the tense of the verb, that's a question people have. I'm going to answer it without answering it. You ready? We're going back over to John chapter 20. I don't mean to confuse you with that. It's better I don't tell you anything. Because you have to ask, why is something what it is? That's what you're doing. You want to verify. Why is this what that is? Why does it really say that verb, etc.? That way. Okay. John chapter 20. John 20. And verse 31. Sorry I goofed you up like that. 20:31. Now you'll catch it though. Verse 31. What we have in the 21 chapters of John. These are written that you might believe. You need to believe. A point in time. Believe. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing, present tense, having believed, be believing. Having taken a breath, breathe. Be breathing. You take your first breath when you're born, and then you begin the process of breathing. You believe. And then you are believing. I am a believer believing. Okay. Back over to John chapter 6. This work, this is the work, the goal of the work of God. What is it? What is it? That you believe on, in the direction and resting down on Him whom He hath sent. You need to be believing. The one action which makes possible all of the works that you all would like to do, the one thing that makes it all possible is to believe. One work. Believe. You say, what can we do? You can't. You need to believe. Believe. Just believe. Be believing. And thus, that makes possible the relationship that is required. For righteousness requires it. You want eternal life? You've got to believe. You want the meat that doesn't perish? You've got to believe. You've got to believe. That's what you've got to do. But no, you need to believe. That's the whole business. Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Believe. Now, hang on to that. Now, they're asking for something. I'm interested in why, and probably you are. And so, they want to do something in order that they might work, that they might produce the works of God, that they might produce them. Now, hold your finger here just a moment, and let me add one little thought, because I'm trying to get into their thinking. The crowd. What is the crowd? How does the crowd think about works and life? What are you guys doing? The Lord said you need to labor for the meat, the food that doesn't perish and has life. Well, over if you would, Luke and chapter 10. And you'll pick up the flavor, Luke 10, and in verse 25. And behold, 10 and 25 of Luke. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted, put God to the test. And what did he say? He's saying, Master, what shall I do? do to inherit eternal life? They want to know what to do. The law, they keep the law, they're righteous, they try to be different than the rest of the crowd, they try to do the right things. What are you guys looking for? We're looking to qualify to be awarded because of our behavior, our lifestyle, because we're better than, other than the rest of the crowd. We want to be considered for if anyone should have eternal life, if anyone should have God's benefit, we should. Back over to John chapter 6. That's their thinking. And that's what they're living in, that kind of thing. So now in the light of that, John chapter 10, the Gospel of John chapter 10. Now what do we need? We need evidence. What are we looking for? What are you guys looking for? We want to be able to do the works of God for what? The works are evidence that we're legit. We're legit. See the evidence. They want the evidence. Now, our Lord, the Lord's coming from here and they're down here and he's trying to help them. Thus, chapter 10, verse 25, you'll catch the flavor of that whole business of evidence. 25, Jesus answered them, I told you and you believed not the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, who I am. See, the works do. See my works, you know who I am. Now, let me do it again. Verse 10:38. But if I do, there's your verb do, though ye believe not me, you don't believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. How are you going to know the relationship? By the works. At least see the works, see the evidence. There's no way that can come, the works of God. Obviously, God must be involved and must be approving. Over, if you would, chapter 14. Chapter 14. And picking up, please. Oh, you'll have the flavor of it in verse 11. 14:11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or, if you aren't going to believe me personally, or else believe me, why? For the very work's sake. The evidence is overwhelming. Therefore, you want to believe. Believe at least the evidence. What do the Jews want? What can we do to work the works of God to have evidence enough that we're okay? We want to do them. And, hang on, verse 12. Verily, verily, amen, amen, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, remember the believing is the key. You want to do the works? You got to believe. You believe? Believe is the answer to everything with God. It's the relationship. Verse chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these, shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And you thought I did some. Well, when I'm working with the body of believers in church history, I'm going to do a lot of works. Because they're going to believe. And as they believe, I'm going to evidence that they are believers. That's what I'm going to do. And much more, greater, many more, not greater in power, but greater in number, quantity. And thus, verse 13, for whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So here we are looking, and they want to know, what can we do to work the works of God? And the Lord said, you got to believe. I know why you want to know, because you want to have credentials so that you are assured and comfortable that you're going to have eternal life. You cannot be assured and comfortable you're going to have eternal life apart from believing. Apart from believing, it ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. No, it's not going to happen. Thus, John chapter 5. And in picking it up, you read it and you know it because we studied it a little bit. John chapter 5, remember in verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, what can we do, is the verb. Verse 19. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So where did the works come from in our Lord? In his perfect humanity, he was in perfect subjection to allow God to have perfect subjection for perfect expression, for God to be expressed in his works. Look at the works. Where did they come from? They didn't come out of the humanity of Jesus. They came out of God, from God the Father. That's where they came from. Our Lord exercised them. Our Lord was the true branch that abided, and he bore fruit, like it's six in Sunday school. Now, in the light of that, I do nothing of myself. And you know again in verse 30, I can do nothing. I can do of my own self, do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. And I do. I yield my humanity to God to outwork his good will. Just think of the vine and the branch. It's going to outwork itself in a most wonderful way. You might as well turn there. That's what you're doing. Chapter 15 again. You were there this morning. Chapter 15. And you have the little verb in that. Verse chapter 15. Picking up in verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And so what are they learning? What are they to learn? You got to believe. You got to have a relationship. And without the relationship, you can't go. You're looking for evidence that you have a relationship. Without a relationship and without believing, you can't have the evidence of God. You have self-evidence. Have enough people believe everything you do and agree with you, and you get in that crowd and think you'll feel safe because of the number. That's what people do. The bigger the group, to join the growing group in order to have assurance and safety. That's part of it. So that I'm in the crowd. I'm lost in the crowd. Think of the Muslims with all the streets loaded with them and hiding in there. How could anyone find you? How could anyone find you in the middle of that? God can't find us in the middle of the crowd. He can't single us out. We're part of the crowd. He'd have to judge the whole crowd. God wouldn't judge the whole crowd, would he? Wow. So now, without me, you can do nothing at all. So we need to look to God. They needed to look to God. And they weren't looking to God the way they should look to God. And therefore, in the process of all of that, in going over, if you would, to pick up the thought. Remember now, you need to believe. You need to do believing. Believing makes all of it possible. You believe, and then you abide, and the fruit, and the exercise, the relationship, it shows itself, shows the work of God, the wonderful work of God. Over, if you would, please, in your Bible to this, to do it two ways. Over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And you will note, question, how can I be received rightly by God and have eternal life? How am I safe before God, a holy God? How am I safe? How am I going to be justified to be declared righteous? I'm wrong. I want to be able to have the rightness. Remember the Pharisees were going about. You're in four. Hang on to four. Go to 10 for a moment. Romans chapter 10. Romans in chapter 10. Romans 10, you know, verse 2. For I bear them record, witness, that they have a zeal, that's Israel, a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, not N-O-T. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And how are you going to do that? Well, the only way you can get that righteousness is to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that what? Believes. You want to be able to be right? One thing, believe. Believe will produce the righteousness, justifies you. Over to Romans 4. Romans chapter 4, picking up, if I may, in verse 25, 4 and 25. Speaking of our Lord, I'll have to read verse 24 for a little more context. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Why are we justified? Because of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sin and rose again to make it possible for us to be justified, to be declared right, to have a righteousness by believing, not by works. Hang on, chapter 4. If you would, in verse 2, 4, 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. See, you did it all by your lonesome. Pharisees, what are you looking for? What can we do to work the works of God, to have the evidence, the rightness, that makes it so we have eternal life? And you can't. You have to believe. And thus, if you're going to do it in yourself, then God said, let's see if you can produce it. Produce a rightness in your life that answers to God's. Try it. Well, I think, well, what were the Jews doing? They were ignorant and dumb about righteousness. They were going to establish their own right. What I think is right. What I feel is right. Since when? Since when? I don't call rightness. I don't make something true or right. God does. Wow. So now, chapter 4, verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. And now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned, not, N-O-T, not calculated by grace, but of debt. In other words, they'd owe us. God would owe us for being good guys. Verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, believing, is counted for righteousness. That's where you're going to get it. You're going to believe. And that's what I told you 100,000 times. Lock on to that. That's how you proceed. You need to be right in your heart. Your heart's all over. Your heart's deceitful, desperately wicked. I'm not going to trust my heart. I'm going to trust God, whose righteousness God has given me, his righteousness. And that righteousness is secured in the person of Jesus Christ. And when I have received him and rest in him, the righteousness that I point to, you point to, is the Son of God. The Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the right one for the right reasons, for the right results, and all I had to do is believe. Now, over if you would please, on the other side of the coin. That would be the evidence. So now, the Jews were looking for what? They're looking for not the evidence of heart. They aren't doing that. They're looking for the evidence on the outside. So therefore, they want to have the works of God. Don't they? Can't they do everything? But they can't do the works of God. So they want to know how to do them. They can do their works. But how do you do God's works so that I qualify? Now, James chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 14. Remember now, James. What are you doing, James? Well, you're right up front in the writers of the New Testament. And what are you doing? Well, the Jewish people are trying to trust in their own righteousness to succeed. And you can't do that. And you have to have, you can't just be passive and indifferent about everything. You got to be believing. Believing is an active verb. Active, full of life. Thus, what were they doing? They were looking for evidence. And James says to you guys out there, the Jewish people dispersed with all the persecution and stuff. Verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Skipping down if I can. Verse 17. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Where, if you show me your faith, you can't show that you believe. You can't show faith unless you put it somewhere. And for 100 times, you believe the pew holds you. I can see no one's panicking. Because you're what? You're sitting on it. That's why I know you all believe and have faith in the pews. And if I were to give you that special something or other food, and I were to put it out, and it was the favorite of everybody, and I would know that you believe because you would all be eating it. Evidence. With no evidence, you can talk about it. You have to have it. Believe. What do you do? I need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And it will produce a wonderful, wonderful relationship. And the relationship will produce a wonderful, wonderful life. And the wonderful life will be right before God and right before man. Now, chapter in James, even so, verse 17, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. In other words, I'm going to tell you, James said, I'm going to tell you how to be justified. You need the evidence for the world. You don't need evidence with God. He did that when you received his Son. He justified you. The world out there says, show me your God. Where is your God? What makes you? I'm a churchgoer. I'm not talking about churchgoer. I'm talking about being a believer, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And they want to know, where's the evidence? James is saying, show the evidence. Don't just say you're saved. Be saved. Don't just say it, be it. And thus, James, verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. You can't. And I will show thee my faith by my works. You have to know. You have to know I'm trusting God as the peace of God passes understanding, as I'm not worrying, as I'm learning to trust God, and I'm looking to God thankfully. And thus, verse 20, but thou wilt, what wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? See? So you want evidence. That's right. What do they need? Evidence. They don't have any in their heart. So they want to know. God puts them to the test. Hey, you guys, you need to take the food that doesn't perish, that produces life. Well, then how do we do that? Where are we going to get that? What must we do to work the works of God that we can have the evidence? Ah, now, over in chapter James 3, and again in verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So there should be evidence. That's what there should be. There has to be evidence. No evidence, that's your trouble guy out there with the world. So now, in the light of that, over if you would, so we're justified by the works. That's what the world sees. James says, you want to be justified? You want the world to declare that you're a believer? Then show them works by faith. Show them that. They don't know you're saved. They think it's a freakish thing to know God personally like that, to have God in your heart. Woo, wow, that can't be true. But it is. It is wonderfully true. And now, in the light of that, if I may, over to Romans, back to Romans chapter 10. Romans in chapter 10. And if I may pick up the thought, going if I can. Let me pick up right at verse 5. We left off at verse 4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that a man which doeth those things shall live by them, and thus show they exhibit them, you know. But if you think doing the best you can will make you saved, then let's see you do the best you can. And you can't do the best you can. But what? You try it for 1 second. What do you do? What did you ever do that you can say, I gave it my best? Now, there's some things, but generally in your life, you go through work, home, school, play, and you don't give it the best shot. You don't do that. We don't flunk on our own. If we're going to use that as a standard, works, then we flunk. Verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not, N-O-T, in thine heart, who shall ascend up into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to say, to bring Christ again from the dead. In other words, Deuteronomy chapter 30. You guys want help, and how are you going to reach up and pull God down from heaven? How are you going to pull God up from anywhere? How are you going to pull God anywhere? How are you going to move God? You can't move God. Therefore, but what saith it, verse 8? The word is nigh. You don't have to pull God anywhere. He already is there. He already is here. The word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. We're telling you to believe, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you're going to be justified. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And thus, dear friend, what's the scripture say? Verse 11, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So we're going to look to God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in the heart. And when I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart, that he rose again from the dead grave, Romans 4:25, what's that say? We're justified by his resurrection. I believe in his resurrection. I believe that I have received a resurrected Christ. He's the one that justifies me. He justifies me. Now, and thus, having that, so we need to believe. You want to work the works of God. You want all the wonderment of the evidence of what God can do in your life. Then you have to believe. It's required that you believe. No question. And you want to do those works. Now, over in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. On the negative side. John 3, and picking up, please, in verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why is that? Because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds, that's the word work. What can we do to work the works of God? That's the word. We want to know what we can do. What work do we do? Well, our works don't measure up. So if we're really going to get sticky about it, our work system doesn't produce. And thus, verse 20, and that's because our deeds were evil. Verse 20, everyone that doeth evil, that's doing it, hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds, his works, should be made manifest. And if they were made manifest to you guys standing there with the Lord in up in the Capernaum, if you guys are going to all flunk out. You know the great white throne judgment is based on what? It's based on your works. The evidence. Your works evidence where you are. And the great white throne judgment is the whole unsaved world is based on their works. Very fairly, if you believe, there should be some evidence in your works. And thus, they don't want to. Their works don't measure up. So the confrontation with our Lord is they know that down in their gut. Verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds, his works, should be made manifest, that they are wrought of God. So how did you get saved? God had to do it. How did you have assurance? God had to give it. How do I have peace? God had to do it. Where did I have the safety that I had a wonderful help and hope? Where did that come from? God. God had to do it. That's the only way I got it. So they're going to know your works came from God. Because everything you're talking about, God is the source of them. God's the source of your salvation, your peace, your joy. God's the source of your hope. Wow. So now in the light of that, and that's a negative sign. On the other side of the coin, over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. What can we do to work the works of God? Well, you just believe. And all of it happens. Now, and they didn't ask what the works were. And what do we know they are? Well, we know the Lord Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. I trust God. And God outworks his wonderful will for my life. And it included the cross, fortunately for us. So now, here we are, believers. We want God's will for our life, and we go to work, home, school, play, easy, hard, sick, and much and little, and eat everything. And we just do it, and we're looking to God, resting in God, our trusting God, believing God. God is God. That's the way it is. He's the one that justified and declared us righteous. So now, Ephesians chapter 2, and you know verse 9. Not by works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by grace, not of works, not of works. We're justified. You can't be just. Works are only the result of believing, if they're good works. And what are the works going to be? So you want to know, if I was one of them, I would want to question. I want to know, God, what kind of work are you going to do? I'm going to do a wonderful work. You know in Philippians 1, 6, he that hath begun a good, 1, 6, he that hath begun a good work. There's your word. He that hath begun a good work in you will what? Finish it. Okay, hang on. Ephesians. God, I want to know the works. I'm looking. Here I am, sitting here, in presence of God, and I want evidence. Well, God, what's the evidence going to be? Well, God, what are the works going to be? This isn't going to be my works, in and of myself. I won't do it. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship. His personal workmanship. We are created, new creatures in Christ Jesus. Why are we new creatures in Christ Jesus? To be able to work out the newness of life, to work out a wonderful life, old things have passed away, all things have become new, to work out a wonderful relationship to you, God, by believing, which God, these good works, which God hath before ordained that we should, what? Walk in them. Live in them. Before you were ever born, I had them all done. All you do is had to line up when I gave you physical life. And you came out of your mother's womb, and I gave you life. You had the opportunity to begin the journey. No matter where you were in the world, who you are, country, culture, cult, wouldn't make any difference. You could turn to me, and I had a wonderful plan for your life. God, so here I am, not by works at all, but I'm your workmanship. We're your workmanship. We're for good works, God, which are all set up for us, and that we should walk and outwork Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, in work, home, school, growing up, stumbling through life, and we're working and working and working. Just think as you do Elijah, you'll pick up all of those lovely things. And working through things, wow, wow. God. Now, in closing, you would know. Remember in Acts chapter 2, after Peter's great message on the day of Pentecost, and the crowd said, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" And another time, that's to the crowd. The crowd wanted to know what to do. They had to believe. Now, it's singled out in Acts chapter 16, you know, verse 30. Remember the Philippians, you turn there, we'll close with that. Always closing. Never ending. Acts chapter 16, you know it, but watch it. 16, and picking up if I can. Oh, in verse 30. And remember the Philippian jailer and that? And he, man, he's concerned about his job, about his safety and his everything with Paul and them getting out of jail. Verse 29, 16 and 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out, said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He had it. He did better than they did in John 6 and 28 and 29. They didn't have it as direct. This Philippian jailer had it direct. What do I need to do to get saved? And then you would read John 6, believe. This is the work of God. Believe. That's all I told you to do. But, no, believe, singularly, all alone, just believe. And, verse 31, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And you want to be a testimony to other people? Then you need to be a believer that is believing. And you have evidence. If I don't want people just to come to church. Come to my building, my church. No, they need to come to my God. They need to know God. That's what they need. They need God. So God help us. Wow. What must I do to be saved? Believe. That's what you need to do. Isn't hard. God, well, give me some other... No. Give me a list. No list. One word. One word, and hold it up in front of your face. Believe. 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 Well, I do believe. No, no. If you believe, then you're going to be resting. You're going to be resting. You're going to be down. If you believe. If by words, we just did it in 6th Sunday school. If by words what? Abide in you. My words find a home in your heart. In your heart. God, you got it. You got it. And you'll be saved. Wow. Anyway, our God and Father, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and thank you that you have made it so marvelously, marvelously easy. Very costly for you. Very easy for us to just believe. You said, without faith it's impossible to please you. For they that come to you must believe that you're God, and that you'll reward them and show them that you're God. And that evidence will show itself. Because we're able to say our God from the depths of our soul. We are able to say, God, that we are saved to the uttermost because of your wonderful person and work. We're able to say all the way to the end of forever, you are the only God and the only Savior, that we look to you, believe, and allow you to be the God that thou art. We're going to let you in our little humanness be God-sized in our life. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. You may want to turn in closing. 417. 417.